Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
You're listening to the world's smartest podcast network.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Some say the news is fake. Others say it's real. These two don't have the time to check. Instead, Turner Sparks and Michael Ira Kaplan turn to comics stationed around the globe to be their eyewitness reporters so that you can know what's really going on. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 263. My name's Turner Sparks.
And I am Michael Kaplan.
You can find me at turnersparks.com. You can find me this Friday night, March 11th, at the Friars Club, filming my new comedy special, Kaplan. Two shows, 7 p.m., 9 p.m. Kaplan will be at the 9 p.m. Tickets available. We're almost sold out of the 7 p.m. Tickets are still available for the 9 p.m. So if you're going to come, either one's good, but get tickets to that.
Come sit with me at 9 o'clock.
Come sit at the cap table. Come sit at the Lost in America table. We also have a Twitch table. Shout out to Jessica. Is it Kleeb?
Yeah, I don't know where her Twitch name is, but
Jessica Kleeb. She's a Twitch Comedy Hub subscriber, and she bought 6 tickets, so she's got a table. I believe at the Late Show as well. You can't hold me to that. I think the Late Show. Yes, Kaplan. That's where you can find me. So go to turnersparks.com to get those tickets. You can find Kaplan on all social media channels at Cap in America. Kaplan on the podcast today, coming up in just a second, we have Misha Kalin coming back. It has been 10 days since we've spoken to him. And when you're sitting in the middle of a war, 10 days is a year. It's maybe 10 years. So there's a million updates. We were trying to figure out what to do with this episode. It was like, well, what else is happening in the world that's important? Is this nothing is the
nearly
answer.
Nothing.
And we thought if we do something else for one more week, well, now we're like 20 days out from the last time we talked to Misha. So we have to check back in with him. So he is still in Kiev. Kiev? Is it Kiev?
Well, that's good. We're going to have to ask him about that. That's one of my questions, because my whole life it was like I'd order chicken Kiev at the diner, at the Ukrainian diner. I'd order chicken Kiev. I swear it said K-I-E-V. I thought it was no problem. I didn't know I was committing a war crime. Basically, I'm saying I'm with Team Russia. If you say Kiev, K-I-E-V.
Now, explain that. Is it because that's their spelling you told me off air?
I think that's what I read, that the spelling in let's ask Misha, but it's K-Y-I-V is the Ukrainian word, you know, for Kiev.
Yes.
And the Russian word is Kiev. I don't know. We'll get to that. Pressing
question. So the
questions.
E is out. Replace it with a Y.
So I stayed in and moved over a spot. Y jumped up a spot. Yep. And that's how we're going. So that's one of our many.
Yes, one Kiev. Syllable.
Yeah, get it right. Don't commit a
Kiev. Misha Kalin is still in Kiev. a million things have happened since we last talked to him. The Russians tried to explode a nuclear reactor.
Yes.
Chernobyl is apparently shut down right now, which could be an issue. There's also a bio lab that the Russians claim to have gotten a hold of and destroyed. But if you talk to the experts in the United States, they might be releasing the latest coronavirus on us very quickly because they found it in Ukraine. They say that it's American. This is all Russian propaganda, that it's somehow American owned. And they're going to now release it on us. Plus, I just want to know what's happening with Misha on the ground.
I want to know what it's like to live in a place where a nuclear plant might explode. Like, we were watching it. I was glued to the TV. A nuclear plant might explode at any moment. But he was in the same country. And I know he's probably going to say, well, what are the odds? There's 70, you know, I'm like on the other side of the country. Because he's very laissez-faire about it. But we'll have to ask
him. You never know, Kaplan. Yeah. Before we get to all that, patreon.com/lostinamerica. So the first thing I want to do is thank all of our listeners. February 2022, in 5 years of doing this podcast, February 22 was our biggest month ever for downloads, for subscribers, for listens. March 2022, we're going to beat that by a lot. Yes. We're going to beat the February numbers. And what's happening now, we have all these new sponsors coming in. So that you just listening to the show translates to us getting money, translates to us finally, Kaplan can finally feed his kids.
They're finally eating food.
Have to eat that school lunch vegan
Fridays.
Menu.
Yeah, they're out. They can bring food. Thank you.
And people. Every once in a while, I can take my wife out to Applebee's. You know,
we don't need the vaccines anymore. No mandate.
A fancy dinner. And so here's how you can tell we're making more money. In the past, when you used to listen to this podcast, these ads would be dropped in and it would just be like an ad for Buick or something. Yeah. And they would drop it in and we had nothing to do with it. It would just get dropped in. Now the ads, it's us reading the ad.
They're dropping us in.
This is a little behind the curtain of show business. If you hear me or Kaplan reading an ad, we're getting paid more for that. So, yeah, so those are the people you really need to support. We want you to support those businesses for real because they're giving us more money than
you
the
don't
other
have to
people.
Buy a Buick, but you do have to buy all the ones where you hear us talking.
Yeah. Please. Well, no. Yeah. I mean, those people give us a little bit of money.
Yeah.
But these ones give us more money. So thank you. That's all because of you. Keep telling your friends. Keep spreading the word. We will continue to have some of the best guests in the world on this show and give you real uncensored news straight from comedians, which who else could you get it from but comedians? All right.
Exactly.
Now, I think it's time to bring Misha in.
We have our comedian. We got worried. We were nervous. He was a little late. We thought he might be in trouble, but he's here.
We're good to go. Misha Kalin, no more time to waste. Welcome to the show, man. You're still in Kyiv. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Yeah. Good.
Good to see you, man.
Yeah. Good to see you. I'm so happy to still be alive and kicking, you know, fighting. So yeah.
Well, Misha, let's start there. Since it's been 10 days since we spoke with you, I know that as far as I can read, at least the Russians have not yet gotten into Kyiv, correct?
Yes, exactly. They basically, when they started the attack, they had some kind of like groups that attacked Kyiv, but they were eliminated immediately. And so as of now, Russia is basically stuck around Kyiv in smaller cities in the area, but not in Kyiv. And the city is gradually kind of becoming more and more normal, right? Mm-hmm. So if like a week ago you could... it's not like there wasn't enough to eat, but it's just if you wanted to get bread, you better be there like at 8 a.m., you know, and stand in line. But now if you want to get bread or some essentials, more shops are open and there's more supply. So fewer lines and so more products are available. So it almost feels like a normal city. And so, yeah.
Wow. All right. That's good to know that. I don't think we've heard any of that. Have we, Kaplan?
No, I thought it was the other way around. I thought Kyiv was in, I don't know. The Russians were at the door and we were not. So that's good to hear.
I mean, don't get me wrong. They are at the door as in like there are heated battles near cities in the area, right? They're like 30 kilometers away or something like that, 30, 40, 50 kilometers away. So it's still pretty near, right? But, you know, I really do trust the Ukrainian army. They seem to get, you know, it seems like they've got things, you know, under control. You hear explosions quite often now, but it seems like it's the anti-aircraft. Last couple of days it's been, I've been feeling safer than the previous week.
Well, that's good. And the number one question that I've been asked for the last 10 days is people wanting to know, were you able to get weed or are you out? Like, that's what people are worried about. They wanted to send it to you if possible.
Actually, I'm good. I get weed from my comedian friend, you know. So sometimes I feel, you know, when your comedian friend is also, you know, is your weed dealer, sometimes you get weed from him and you're like, dude, I'm just not going to pay you. Yeah. What are you going to do?
So you didn't pay him. I'll pay you when the war's over. So
yeah,
there's money. I'll pay in Russian rubles.
That's exactly that's a taboo. Do not mention Russian rubles.
Oh, sorry.
Kaplan. Wait, I want to pause just for a second, guys. And Jared, this is a question for you. I just realized I forgot to start recording at the beginning of this episode, but would you have this video and possibly audio? Okay, cool. All right,
Jared.
Yeah, you just saved us
by paying the big bucks.
We'll keep going. I want to ask about the military. We don't hear much about the Ukrainian military. So are the generals that, are you guys getting like strategy from them, or is it, I know it's all defensive, so I don't know how much strategy is actually there, but what type of reporting, how are they doing? Are they getting a lot of casualties? What's the morale of the military? Do you know?
From Ukrainian side, we're kicking ass. You know, there's more volunteers than we have enough weapons for, right? So there's a huge line of volunteers. As we get more weapons, we distribute them to the volunteers. And the military is doing great. The only thing is, Russia started attacking on several different fronts. So, you know, there's some areas where there are heated battles. Plus, Russia's resorting to bombing civilian sites, like civilian apartment complexes and places like that. And they attack people on the street, like civilian cars. So essentially, where we're at right now, it's a bit of a stalemate. I mean, Russia is sending more resources, but they can't move far. So there's a huge line, like a 64-kilometer line of machinery, just tanks and other, war machinery, and it's just stuck in the dirt, and they haven't moved in probably over a week now.
Yeah, is that the one that's maybe like 40 miles outside of Kyiv? Or is it Kyiv or Kiev? How do we pronounce it?
I mean, are we talking English now? I don't know.
Ukraine.
In Ukrainian, you would say like Kyiv. Yeah.
Okay.
Kyiv. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, that's the one. So it is two syllables. Kyiv.
Kyiv.
Kyiv. All right. Yeah. Is that the line that we've heard about in the news? In American media, they show us this line of, as you said, tanks and artillery that cannot get in. That's just stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And so we've been getting news that, we've taken out a few like huge tanks of fuel and everything. So they've basically, all the logistical chains have been disrupted, so they cannot send reinforcements. Although we've been getting news that they're kind of preparing this last siege of Kyiv. Right. That's what they need for their news and sort of propaganda machine. They need one big battle to take over Kyiv.
But you get news from, when you say you're getting the news, you mean from the local Ukrainian news, or?
I try to mix it up and kind of look at all you know, at different sides, but I'm mainly, I mainly take Ukrainian news and compare with the independent news from the Russian side, but sort of from the good, not the propaganda right side, but just the more objective sources.
I've been reading that some of the objective Russian news sites have been shut down in the past week.
The New York Times just pulled out of Russia. You know, like they're cracking
down
everybody.
New York Times. I'm talking like Russian-owned Russian
news sites. Yeah.
There was a Russian, is it a newspaper or maybe it was radio? And they've been around for like 25 years and they or longer. And they were saying in the past week, their YouTube videos have been getting 20 million views a day.
Yeah,
meaning that they were like, and they're in Russian. So they're like, there is an audience for this. We have Russians who want to hear independent news. And they, bang, just got shut down like 3 days ago.
Exactly. That used to be my source of news. The Echo of Moscow, that was the super liberal, super progressive, super independent. Well, sort of. There should be an asterisk next to that because it is funded in part by Gazprom. So it's kind of a complex story. But compared to the mainstream Russian media, it was pretty liberal and independent. And now, it's shut down. As you said, you know, you couldn't have a guest on here because the person was afraid of getting 15 years. I've been hearing that a lot, you know. When you sort of talk to Russians online and you say, hey, your soldiers are dying. It's, you know, your boys are dying. And they say, hey, stop spreading propaganda. You can get like a huge fine or 15 years. You're like, do you think I care about the 15 years? No, they're really... Right.
They could get 15 years. How could you get it?
But I don't live in the world where I would ever go back to the Belarus of the past. You know, if I ever go back, it's going to be the Belarus that I envision, right? Or I never go back. It's just, there's no other option, right? I'm not thinking like, oh, I'm here in Kiev, I'm going to survive, and I'm just going to go back to the Belarus where I'm in danger. And you understand, right? Like I've made my choice. Like I've left the country because it's just impossible to live there. And unless something changes, I'm not going to go back. So these 15 years and all this other bullshit, I don't really care. And I think that's where we're at. Everybody in Russia needs to stop caring, right? And they just need to go out and be like, listen, I either get these 15 years or the fear of 15 years, or I'm going to live for the rest of my life in prison, essentially. Because what is it if not prison already, right?
Yeah. Well, I think people we're talking to, at least in Russia, are saying they're going to wait a couple of weeks and see if this is a real threat or if it's fake. And if it's fake, then move on with their lives. What about Zelensky? What is he telling... Because we see these videos of him standing and is still sitting in his office in the middle of Kiev, which is awesome. But then we can't understand what he's saying. So they're like 5-minute videos. They look really cool. And they're being shown all over American media and everything. And they look great. But we don't know what he's saying. What's his message to the people in Ukraine? And also, what's the path to like a win or a success? What does success look like?
Basically, close. This is his only message. Close the skies over Ukraine. That's it. We need NATO to just not allow any aircraft over Ukraine because that's the only weak spot that we have. Russia's fucked, but they're sending planes over Ukraine and bomb basically apartment complexes. Right. And where civilians live, or they will provide the humanitarian corridors to get the civilians out. The corridors all lead to Russia or something crazy like that. Or they will say, OK, you can evacuate these civilians, and they will start shooting at them and say, no, it wasn't us. It's the Ukrainians. So that's what we're fighting with. Right. It's the fake propaganda machine. They will do anything for a picture that will fit their narrative. So that's one. That's a huge one. And then, but the biggest one is essentially NATO not allowing the aircraft over Ukraine. And they're afraid to do that. So NATO is essentially useless. So they act like they're helping, but really they're not. You know, the Russian gas is still going to European Union right now as we speak. So they're not really doing much, you know. Basically all these sanctions and everything, they will have their effect, but the biggest effect is going to happen in a few months. As you said, you know, the Russians that say like, yeah, we'll wait for 2 weeks. Why? Because they're probably their phone is still new. Yeah, their fridge is still full of products, and so yeah, and they're probably right. The situation won't change too much in the next couple of weeks, but it will in the next couple months.
But do people in the Ukraine, do they think it's a realistic possibility that US or NATO would close off the airspace, like a no-fly zone? Because I know heard that a lot. I know you obviously it would make a huge difference, but I know my understanding is it's not going to probably happen. But
I mean, it's just a matter of now we're talking like it's a historical, right? I mean, look back at World War II.
Right.
Everybody. Yeah, exactly. When you study the whole philosophy of appeasement and why the United States waited for so long, and then so it's the same story over and over again. So are you ready to live with that? You know, and this is sort of a general. I mean, I know that they have smart people at the helm or whatever, and they probably weigh all of these things, right? And I understand they don't want to get into a direct conflict with Russia because Russia will start acting
Russia
crazy.
Has nuclear weapons is the theory. You think they don't work, but they don't, maybe never.
Yeah, yeah. I think they'll start, you know, they'll get the manual out that's like 7 years old, you know, and they'll press the rusty button or something, and it'll just all fall apart, you know. That's my theory, because so far that's what I've seen. You know, NATO things that they all work. And if they shoot a couple of planes over Ukraine, then Europe or Washington is nuked. I don't know, man.
Well, here's my question is like, where's the line? Because I get so America and NATO are like, we're not going to close the skies because that would be provoking Putin too much, and then he would drop a nuke on us, but we will provide you the money to build a plane or to buy a plane or to get Poland to give you a plane.
We'll give you some kind of planes and we'll give some planes to Poland. I know it's
and
weird.
And then Poland said, we're not going to give Ukraine the plane. We'll give it to America, and America can give it to Ukraine. It's all semantics at this point.
Yeah,
I mean, not to, if I'm Putin, I'm like, it's six in one hand, half a dozen in the other. Like, if he's going to nuke you, he's going to nuke you whether you shut down the airways or you give this guy a plane who gives the other guy a plane.
Well, did you see Donald Trump had the solution to here? He said to take our planes, stick Chinese flags on them, and just blow Russia away. And then Russia will think Putin will get tricked by the flags.
I saw that.
He'll go fight China and we'll just sit back and grab the popcorn.
He thinks China did it. Yeah, we'll put him on the bomb. He said, paint Chinese flags on the bombs.
Yeah, well, exactly.
See, I don't get how they just give away planes and everything. Do they come with pilots? Because who's going to fly those planes?
Right. Is there a manual?
Yeah. I was thinking, Misha, I thought you might be training to fly a plane now.
Yeah, I was going to say, dude.
You do it.
I mean, how hard it can be. I remember planes. Down is up and up is down. That's all
that's
you need
to trick.
Know. Yeah, that's the trick.
American planes.
Push down to go up.
Like you're the movie Airplane all of a sudden. But
listen, I'm definitely going to learn. After this war, I've already got my whole my plan, right? So I'm definitely going to start some kind of training. By the time we go into Belarus to fight for the freedom of Belarus, I'm going to be ready. That's all I'm saying.
Look at that. This is like your Bolivia for Shay. Well, no, that's a bad example. He died there.
We should say, last time we were on with you, we were talking about how in Belarus he was meeting that day. We didn't know what everything was about. But then right after that, Belarus, that's when they announced that they were going to host nuclear. They were going to allow Russia to put nuclear weapons in Belarus, right? So we didn't cover that last time, I believe. But what was your reaction to that news? Just as a Belarusian, just more.
No. The main story about Belarus is that, my problem is that I'm viewed as the enemy here.
Right.
I can't really do much in Kiev right now. Like I help people out, right? But it's really hard for me to even get around in the city and everything, because at the block post where I have to show my documents, it takes forever, like a lot of questioning and everything, because being from Belarus is very suspicious right now.
Just show them this podcast.
I know, dude, that's, you'd be surprised, but I basically have to show him things that prove that I'm not the enemy, that almost like showing this podcast, like you think you're joking, but you really aren't. Like it is tough. And it is kind of scary, because sometimes, you know, I'm in a good mood and I'm like, yeah, whatever, you know, it's the war, but you know, we're going to kick ass and everything. But sometimes, you know, I feel a little bit down and a little depressed. And, you know, you go outside and people like talk to you and they say things and they're not pleasant, you know. And I try to sort of be understanding and everything. But listen, I am not the problem, right? Like, I've been running from this regime for years, like Turner knows, you know. I've been talking about Belarus and about this whole situation, you know, since 2011 and 12, right? It's been going on. And so I've been vocal about it forever. And even like recently, when I would come from Belarus to Ukraine, a lot of Ukrainians would say, like, hey, why did you leave Ukraine? You know, you have a stable president and everything. And I'm right. So a lot of people here actually viewed Belarus as this model of a stable government. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
Because Putin never poisoned any of your leaders. So.
Well, or even, yeah, if Lukashenko does it, he does it at the smaller scale and it's not as flashy, you know, so nobody knows about it. That's the thing. Everybody keeps saying about Belarus, like, oh, you have clean streets and everything is clean and it's the so train. Orderly. Like that.
Trains run on time.
Yeah, exactly. Trains run on time. But that's pretty much, you know, that's North Korea, right? Because from the outside, North Korea has a couple of angles where it looks more or less civil, right?
Sure.
So, yeah, that's what Belarus has been for the longest time. And now I'm, you know, I have to deal with this shit too, you know? And it's.
What do you mean? What are people saying to you? So, like, Ukrainian people can immediately tell you're not from Ukraine. You're from Belarus because of your accent or something or.
Actually, now everybody's like listens much closer to your accent and everything. They can't tell. Oh. That's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
And even
you
people
say Kiev
who speak
wrong?
Russian no. here, exactly, right? And if you normally even speak Russian, and many people in Kiev speak Russian, but if they want to, you know, they can switch to Ukrainian. Or if somebody says like, "Hey, say these couple of words," they can say them in Ukrainian.
So what do people say to you?
So you speak in Russian then? You don't speak Ukrainian? Or
they're just way too suspicious, you know? Like everywhere you go, like imagine for me to go from my apartment complex to like the next block or something like that, you have to pass a block post, right? So the road is blocked and there are a bunch of people with machine guns or something like that, right? And then so they stop you, you show them your documents. If they ask you, sometimes they don't ask you, but they've asked me a couple of times and I would show it to them and they get all suspicious. They see if it's linked to an app in your phone, because recently there've been a bunch of people with fake ID cards. You understand? So they basically have to verify that this ID card that you have is not fake. And, but imagine having to do that several times a day. But you understand, it's the war situation. Like if they, for instance, if they see you after 8 p.m., after curfew, and you get shot, there's no prosecution. That's it. You're just, here, the marauders, for instance.
But the idea behind that is that the only, if all of our citizens stay inside after 8 p.m., the only people on the street are the enemy.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, no. I'm definitely not complaining because that's the reason why I feel safe, right? It's because we're following all these rules. I'm just saying that for a Belarusian right now in Kiev,
COVID's way down.
Like I was going to say, what do you think happens in America? There's no, all these people would be like, I'm not, this is against my personal freedom. And then they just like level the military would just be shooting citizens in the street.
Are there a lot of Russian?
These people don't want to wear a mask. They're not going to stay inside after 8 p.m.
Seriously. I guess we haven't had a war.
Sorry, go ahead, Misha. We cut you off there.
Well, just as an example, I wanted to talk about marauders. Is that a word? Marauders?
That was my high school mascot, the Jesuit Marauders. It means like pirates.
Really? Oh, for real?
Yeah.
Well, we should name this segment Marauders and Usurpers, right?
Those are he's naming segments. Regular guest.
Brought to you by Magic.
By Buick.
Because it's the other one of those words that I say in Russian most of the time. And then I'm like, all right, usurper, and marauder. Yeah. So the marauders here, right? They get, when they get caught, people just tape them to trees, man. And
wait,
I don't know
who would be a marauder? So like the word in English means like a pirate, like a thief.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah. Like a thief during wartime.
Yeah.
Like someone who's taking advantage of this situation to
exactly.
Rob?
Yeah. If you just start like, you know, trashing a shop or a gas station, that's,
like a looter?
That's marauding. Yeah. A looter. Yeah.
Okay.
Are they exactly. Russians or are they?
No, local.
Or just assholes.
Just high school kids?
Yeah. Just local jerks. Exactly.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And listen, some of them deserve it, right? But some of them is just some fucking idiot, you know, just stealing a pack of smokes or something.
And
like
they
that,
tape
you
know? Them to, wait, because I have in my local neighborhood, we got a lot of problems.
So wait, Kaplan, stop. You get taped to a tree if you're caught stealing?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. This is what we're going to start doing. Tape them to the tree.
Yeah, that's and crazy. Then they beat them with a belt or like a stick or something. And then I don't know what they do with them, like bring cops in or just leave them there. I don't know, man, but I've seen it a couple times. And
you've seen people tape probably, to trees?
No, well, I mean, I've seen videos. Yeah, I haven't seen.
You're like,
seen
hey, that's Jerry
live.
From down the street.
There's well, my smokes.
I did see one dead person so far, but I know what happens. And I've seen a bunch of like trashed stores and everything. And so I know people have tried to do that. Anyway, here's what I'm saying. The overall situation is stressful, right? So you're walking around. Nobody's really is going to like start a trial or something, right? I'm just saying like if you're walking past a, you know, busted storefront and you get taken in and you have a... Right. It doesn't help you. That's all I'm saying. Right. And so that's another layer of stress. That's all I'm saying.
And
right. So it's just hard to just walk from point A to point B because there are just complications. And being Belarusian right now, it sucks. Even though Lukashenko is saying that we're all blameless, you know, we haven't used our military, but they are using Belarusian territory. Most of this, I think like something like 70% of the rockets were launched from the Belarusian territory that hit Kiev and other places. So Lukashenko definitely has his blood on his hands. I just hope that people in Ukraine separate, you know, the Belarusian people who are against, who are taken hostage, and that people should understand that Belarusian people are taken hostage after the 2020 events. Most people who had the will to go out and protest, they left, and everybody else, they just have the experience what happened to them last time. That's what they're staying put, you know, there are no weapons and they're not, and they just know if they go out, they're just going to get beaten and put in jail.
Yeah. What, I have a few things I want to ask here, but let's start with this. What about the foreign volunteers? So we've read that there's 20,000 foreign people have signed up to join the military, the Ukrainian military. Yep. And they said as of March 6th, 20,000 of them are actually already there and fighting. Have you guys heard anything about them or seen any videos or anything?
Yeah, yeah. I saw some videos, just foreigners just saying hi and all that stuff. I know it just takes, as far as I understand, it just takes some time to coordinate them, put them into groups and just all that stuff. Just incorporate them into the... whatever the chain of command and things like that.
I would imagine it's not like super quick, but
yeah, it's not like you just kind of like, oh, all right, there's another 20,000.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works. Like it's
a crazy idea. That's why I wanted to ask about it. Are they using them as like showing on the news? It's like a big, propaganda is the wrong word, I guess, but maybe it's, I don't know. Is it a big thing, like a point of pride for the country?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, right?
Yeah. And people are helping us. People care about us.
Exactly. And
no one's signing up to join the Russian side, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't
think that's contrarian take.
20,000.
Well, no, they're actually running for their lives because, supposedly now they're bringing in just people who work as a guard in a jail, like people like that, you know? Mm. So they're trying to sort of recruit their remaining forces. But I think at the moment, Russia has used up either all or like 90% or 95% of the troops that they've prepared for this invasion.
Okay, I want to get into that, but just hold for a second. Cap, we got to let's pay some bills here. We are part of the World's Smartest Podcast Network. That is us, Lost in America. It's also Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy and the Majoring in Everything podcast. And it's Andrew Eaton, Professor Andrew Eaton, who he's not accredited, but in our mind, he's a professor. And the Political Orphanage podcast. And we might be adding more shows soon. We got to talk about this off air, Cap. But it's a great
negotiations.
Three fantastic shows to get information and in an entertaining fashion all at the same place. Go to worldsmartestpodcastnetwork.com. And now, Kaplan, a word from your local sponsors. All right, we're back.
And Dr. Andrew Jones-Roy, I see in the chat. Hello.
Thank you. Oh, yes. We should say people are messaging in the chat. In the Twitch chat, we are streaming live right now on Twitch. Andrea Jones-Roy says, Misha, stay safe. We're all thinking about you. And Borb's mother, one of our listeners, who I believe is Jessica, says, I've been thinking about Misha all week. I'm happy to see you are okay. And we'll get to more questions from everybody later. But Misha, so you said that Russia's running out. They've used up all of their, is it troops that we think? I also just read they got a C rating. This is as of like 16 hours ago by the Fitch Credit Company, which gives like countries world credit. C rating means like failing. It means they expect the Russian economy to fail. It's the lowest you can get.
You can't
they expect the Russian economy to fail within weeks, or if not days. Like literally the credit, they won't have any credit worldwide at all. Is that the, like, how does this, what's the goal from the Ukrainian side on how this ends? Do we think that Russia will give up when they're out of credit, they're out of money, they're out of troops?
Or not really, because
what's the goal?
They're not as so essentially that whole credit thing doesn't really impact Russia that much, because their sort of external debt is not as big as United States. It's very small, actually. So even if they just default on their debt, I don't think it's gonna hit them that hard. But the sanctions, of course, they're gonna hit them financially, and it's already hitting them in many, many ways, from Visa and MasterCard not working abroad, from brands,
PayPal's even, done.
Things like that, right? But I think this is gonna hit really, really hard in like a month or in a couple of months, and we need measures that happen right now, because a rocket flies, that takes like what, 3 seconds, right? We don't need sanctions that take years. Although, part of me thinks like, it's great that they're doing this, but this is all long-term, and Russia is obviously in a very, very bad situation. But I think most people are still asleep. I'll be honest with you. I'm working on this like information front and talking to some people in Russia, and the ones that have their brain infected with the propaganda virus. Again, I'm going back to that whole analogy with the religious faith. You know, if you've had this experience where you just have, I mean, it doesn't have to be, I don't want to like talk shit about religion and everything, but you know that feeling, this sort of like cultish feeling where you just firmly believe in something, and then you get older or something like that, you're like, boom, I can't believe I believed in that, and it all seems like a dream. So a lot of people in Russia live kind of like that. They've just entrusted into Putin, and it's going to be another one of these personality cult situations like it wasn't with Stalin. They loved Stalin, and then he died, and they said, oh, it was a personality cult, and he was actually a bad guy. Imagine how most of the Soviet people felt at that time, and that's how they're going to feel again with Putin.
His approval ratings, I saw, are up right now in the country, but that's of older people who rally around the country.
Cap, did you say that you read 60% support the war?
Yeah, like some poll, I don't know how they take polls exactly, but it said it was higher than before, like support it, which is, I guess, you rally around your country, right? That kind of thing.
No, dude.
Well, they're also being fed like crazy propaganda.
Yeah, they're being fed propaganda, and I'm sure it's mostly older people who are more nationalist.
And there is no statistics in an authoritarian state.
That's true.
And the way they manipulate the question, it's basically, the way they word the questions is essentially where they get you.
And like, is it the best war ever or just the best war?
And also, if you say you don't support, you can get 15 years in prison right now. So
exactly.
You know. Well, you can't say it's a war, actually.
Yeah. You're not even allowed to say it's a war right now. You get 15 years in prison for calling this a war, which the only people I know who don't think this is a war is Russians and Joe Schaefer. Those are the only two people.
Shout out.
He said it's not a war till America gets involved.
Right. There's never been a war in the world except for ones we've been in. I like that. America centric.
Misha, what about, I wanted to ask about this because there's people on the far left who disagree with us being involved in this in any way. And we just mentioned one of those people. And then
Strays, Joe Schaefer.
There's people on the far right who don't. And what I don't know, either side, you'll read. So every once in a while, stories will pop up in America why we should not be supporting Ukraine. And one of those is because, and this is clearly coming from Putin, but somehow Americans tend to somehow believe it, that there's like a big, most Ukrainians are Nazis.
Yeah.
So how many of your friends are Nazis? Let's just start.
Isn't an actual, not that it's a reason for war, but are there actually an abnormal amount of Nazis in the Ukraine? Is there any truth to that? Or
dude, I mean, now as a joke, everybody says that we're all like drug addicts and Nazis. So that's kind of how you address people now. Like, hey, where my drug addicts and Nazis are. So in a way, we all say it now. But honestly, listen, you know, I've lived in Lviv, and Lviv is the mecca of the Ukrainian Nazis. And it's not even bad there. You know,
wait, where is that? What town?
Lviv. Yeah. Remember where I used to? I don't think we did a video from Lviv, but I used to live there in from 2018 to 20.
Oh, so that was the Nazi, the home of the Nazis.
The hub. Yeah, the west of Ukraine, right?
Kaplan should avoid that town.
I'm going to avoid that town when I'm in. I mean, there used to be a lot of my people there, actually, but not anymore.
Honestly, it's all bullshit. Like in St. Petersburg, they have more Nazis, right? It's just every big city has these subcultures, right? Some of them would be like Antifa. Some of them would be like skinheads. Right? Yeah. And skinheads supposedly are neo-Nazis and things like that. And there's a few like nationalistic groups. But listen, a lot of these nationalistic groups are just a reactionary movement against Russia. So Russia is kind of triggering that. And I also know that a lot of these groups are funded by Russia.
Right.
So they fund the extremists to kind of have this...
To make it look...
Exactly. But when we talk about politics in their equivalent of Congress, those nationalistic extreme Nazi party, they don't get votes. They get like 2% or something like that. They're definitely not in power. Zelensky's Jewish, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what's amazing. But, you know,
I just wanted to finish my thought that they're bombing Russian speaking cities like Kharkiv. Kyiv, right, and Kyiv too, right? And there's another one, Mariupol, that's also lots of Russian speakers there. So there are definitely no Nazis there. What are you talking about? Why are they? So it's so outrageous. It's so obviously bullshit. I do not understand how people can, in good conscience, repeat this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Do you think Putin believes it, his own nonsense? Like, because he doesn't believe Ukraine's a country, right? So he believes in his cause. Yeah. It's like,
of course,
somehow,
it doesn't even matter if he believes it. What is mind blowing to me is somehow Putin is now getting certain American people to believe this. I mean, that doesn't have anything to do with you.
I think if people in America, we get nervous. Like, you see those videos of like super like guys in the streets who are like going to go kill Russians. Like, we just get nervous. We're not fighters. We're not, you know, so we get nervous of anybody super nationalist.
I think we're the biggest fighters.
But a lot of we're talking about like, you're talking about like leftists. Like, they just get nervous about anybody who's like, I'm going to kill someone
because
they're Russian. Like, I'm going to kill a Russian. Like, that makes people nervous. But
okay, Cap. But
the fine line.
I disagree with Cap.
Between nationalism and fascism.
When he says we, he's not including me.
All right. That's good. But
not me.
Hear me out. Hear me out for a second, right? As the Belarusian, I lived in China, and every time I said I'm from Belarus, people say like, what the fuck is that? Is that Russia? That did not irk me or anything at the time, right? But now if somebody says, is that Russia? I might be like, what the fuck? You know? So I might In a situation like this, it makes me way more extremist or whatever, right? So when you're attacked, your nationalism inflates.
Right, it's natural. It's like a reaction.
Yeah, it's natural and it's human. Fine. So only in that sense, right?
Yes.
So in that way, it's on the rise, the nationalism in a good way, right? The same way I'm way more nationalistic than I was, 10 years ago when I lived in China and I didn't really care. Yes. I tried to stay away. Right. And if somebody says like, oh, are you Ukrainian, Russian or Belarusian? I might correct the person, but it didn't really matter. But it matters to me now because we're at war and I've picked my side and I know who my enemy is. So right. Basically, in that sense, where you're at war is just all black and white. And
but nationalism and Nazism are two different things.
Well, right, exactly. That's what I think people act like. That's my point. They act like nationalism equals fascism or something now.
Yeah. You're allowed to say I support my country.
Yeah, I agree. But
yeah,
to be clear,
it's just a bunch of like Twitter Maoists, they think, oh, you gotta be communists are good, right? And the Nazis are bad. You don't mix up when there's war and like real terms, but you start using the same thing and just put them in the context of like Antifa and all that bullshit. It doesn't mix, because we're talking about real lives and people are dying and it's serious issues. We're not talking about, pink haired Antifa. Yes. And like,
I think Americans have on both sides. Americans on both sides tend to they want everything to fit into the prism of America. So they'll, as you just said, they're like, well, I'm either Antifa or I'm like anti-woke. And so who if Putin's anti-woke, I agree with him.
That's what people on the right feel that way about Putin. They're like, he's a Christian nationalist. He's against like gender stuff.
Because he also doesn't think
tough guy on immigrants.
He thinks you should be able to say what you want. And that
straight shooter.
If you don't like Putin, that's cancel culture.
But he's putting you in jail for 15 years for speech.
It's like insanity. These people are nuts. And I think a big part of our podcast is trying to let people know that not everything fits into the prism of the United States.
America.
Almost none of it does.
Yeah.
But that's how Americans pick their side is they go, well, who's on my team? And then I like him. And who's a communist? Yeah. Well, I like communists, so I like him. And that's how the left is getting to support Putin. And the right supports him because he's anti-woke. Now, these are the far ends. Anyone rational?
I think
the 95% between those two are not supporting Putin.
I think most Americans would support the no-fly zone. They might not know all the would go into the.
I support a no-fly zone.
Yeah,
who I think cares? Most Americans bring them on.
Bring them on.
Well, but if you really look at the nuclear threat, right? Because when they say no-fly zone, they just think like, oh, of course, we don't want the innocent civilians in Ukraine to die. But then when you start talking about the nuclear threat, people might go back and say like, when I said no-fly zone is good, I didn't mean that. Yeah, so again, every time you start discussing an issue, you uncover more and more layers and it's way more complex, right? And that's the thing. Russia was saying, hey, Ukraine is under the Nazi government, so we're liberating them. But how are they liberating, right? They have that Z that looks like a swastika. They do a lot of war crimes. They kill civilians. So they act like fascists do. So who's fascist if you look at it, right? And I mean, it's just this, it's a cliche, but you look at the actions, not at war.
Do you see the Z a lot? That's like a symbol, right? Of the Russian like nationalism. Just like they put a Z.
Not around here because obviously.
Right. They don't get in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, but online, of course, they're. It's not as it's not a huge meme or anything, right? It is a meme. That's the thing. So it's just comical, and people just laugh at it. It's laughable, and that's what makes it pathetic. But it's just so weird to see how Russia. They've been building this myth that they've defeated the Nazi regime, right? And they almost single-handedly won the World War II. And now they're acting exactly how the Nazis did back in World War II.
Right.
And guys, I have a couple more questions and then I'm going to have to go in a few minutes. Cap, I don't know if you can stick around and maybe do questions from the Twitch viewers.
In the audience? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so a theme of having Misha on is I usually disappear.
Yeah, these are the only times. Misha is a guest who can talk. I don't need to do anything. So.
Oh, the only thing I'm realizing is I have to somehow end this in the podcast. So maybe, crap.
Well, we can keep it going on Twitch, I guess.
I'll keep it on. I'll go get ready and then I'll have to leave in about 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
For real. But my question is, Misha, with the Chernobyl, I just read has it been taken over by the Russians or somehow they've shut down the nuclear reactors. And the issue there is that when they get shut down, the cooling system stops working and they heat up without any power. They actually get hotter and hotter. And if they heat up too much, it could send off nuclear waves or something. And then we had that thing a week ago where the Russians took over.
Well, they're firing at it. A nuclear power plant.
Exactly.
Firing in a nuclear power plant.
Fire.
And then you also have this new thing where the Russians say they've uncovered a U.S. Biochemical weapons plant in the middle of Ukraine. This is all within the last hour. And they say that they've now defused it. But American intelligence says that we should be very concerned that they're going to now release those chemical weapons onto the earth and we'll have a new coronavirus or something like that.
Oh, nice.
Does all this make you concerned about leaving or you're staying no matter what?
I every day I kind of change my mind. Listen, I think about it every day and I've already been to the train station. I've already figured it out how if I wanted to leave, I could leave, right? Because here's the trick, actually, because they show you the train station and it's completely packed, which it is. But as I said, we have this curfew, right? And so if you get there right before 8 p.m., there are a few trains after 8 p.m. and no people are coming in, right? So you just wait for a couple of hours and you can get to the border, no problem. I can do it tonight if I wanted to. So I'm ready to go. I've got my bag and everything. So I've decided, because if you look around, there's still a lot of kids and the people are still leaving Kiev. So I'm not top priority. So essentially the way I look at it is I'm going to let everybody who wants to leave. And then, but to answer your question, once I get more data coming in, basically one day I feel like I'm going to leave tonight. The next day I'm like, yeah, I think I'm fine. And then the next day I'm like, no, I'm definitely leaving tonight. And so it switches back and forth. And exactly just those three examples that's how my thought process. I'm like, oh, dude, what if this happens? Then I'm definitely screwed. But then they're like, oh, but then they say, oh, it's okay. You know, they got it under control.
And the fire was raging in the nuclear plant, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was actually, I was staying with my friend downtown. So I changed location. So I was just chilling with my friend and we woke up at 3 a.m. reading the news about the fire at the nuclear power plant. And we were like, dude, let's leave tonight. But then we took a little, 3 a.m. nap, woke up in the morning, and then everything was kind of back to normal.
You went to sleep during this? Because we had it on here. It was earlier, obviously, in the night in America. But I was like, I can't go to sleep until I know we're not at nuclear war. So I was up until the fire was put out that night. I was more nervous probably than you, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Because you kind of get used to things. And you just kind of wake up. You're worried for an hour. And then you sleep for another 2 hours. And then you're up again. So, yeah, it's a weird regime. And when the war just started, you hear sirens and you feel like, oh, I'm ready to go. Now you hear sirens, you're like, yeah, okay, whatever. You disregard it most of the time now. Yeah, but basically you get used to most things in life, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, you must have to. But and then in Chernobyl and all these things that are kind of like, I also thought, I was picturing your head, you're like theorizing it's the other side of the country, right? So maybe you have some time.
No. It's really close. It's super close.
Oh, I got confused.
The only thing is, it's hard to know how it's all going to work because it might, it all depends where the wind blows and
which
everything.
Which way? And, yeah, you got to check the weather report.
And it might affect Russia more than anybody else. So that's why I don't even know. Some of the things that they do are so reckless and irresponsible.
Right. Did you think it was intentional? My theory was that was not, because that would hurt Russia more, right? I mean, I don't know.
It's hard to tell. They've done so many dumb things. Like they've done so many stupid things. They've already lost some of their top management. Like, I don't know how to compare the basically their titles, like something like major general, something. So I was listening to the, you know, to this dude talk about it. So essentially the equivalent in the US troops over the course of 50 years, you've lost like two guys on that level. In Russia, they've lost like three of them.
You mean like leadership guys who have already lost their jobs? Yeah, it's like in sports when the team's supposed
to win.
No, lost
them physically.
Oh, they're physically. Killed. Oh, I thought they fired.
Eliminated. Yeah, exactly. Oh, as part of war. And that's what I'm saying. Like, imagine in the U.S. history, that just doesn't happen. You know, in like 50 years of history, two guys on that level in the U.S. died, and like three of them already died in the first 2 weeks of the Russian.
That's a good point. Our main guys usually stay out of harm's way. But
exactly. So I think they've really screwed the pooch this time, and they're.
Well, it seems like they have no
help to pay.
Like we had Anton on, you know, another Ukrainian comedian, and we checked in with him to see how he was doing. And he mentioned like what you mentioned, where there's, you know, the biggest problem is that Russia's just indiscriminately bombing these civilian centers. Yeah. And he said, like, it doesn't, they don't even know if like the Russians, like if they're getting orders, like, cause they're like, he's like, he said the Russian soldiers are like monkeys with a button on the grenade, you know, monkeys throwing grenades basically. Like, it's like, I don't know if these people are even like in charge, right?
Yeah, they're desperate and they're getting angry and desperate, you know, and that's the worst sort of, and who knows why they make these decisions. Maybe exactly just to get back at the other side, you know what I mean? Because they feel cornered, and when you feel cornered, that's not a good mental state to make decisions in. And that's what they have to deal with. And and that worries me, you know, because... I fully trust the Ukrainian army. I feel like they're doing really, really well. I'm just afraid of these sort of next level decisions. You know, what if Putin really like loses his shit and just starts like carpet bombing the cities, or again, the nuclear thing. And, you know, I know I said, you know, I don't believe it works, but I guess I'm just like willing it to not work or whatever. I'm just trying to telepathically make it rust even more, if that's possible.
Right. Well, I would think Putin also, even if he occupies Ukraine in the worst case scenario, the type of insurgency he's going to face based on what we're seeing now with all these volunteers and people willing to fight in the streets, I don't see how he could possibly think that's ever going to work. Right. I mean,
it's not going to work. It's just not enough troops. They need like millions, not hundreds of thousands.
Yeah. And then my last question I was going to ask before we get to our Twitch viewers is, because we talked a little bit about this earlier, but do you feel like the Ukrainian, like, I feel like the media, obviously Zelensky's got a goal, right? He wants to rally his people, and he wants to rally the West to aid him. So do you, I feel like there's a lot of optimism. Do you think it's like, it's all founded, or do you think like, is there like some propaganda on the Ukrainian side that you try to avoid, or that's why you try to get all the sides, or do people generally feel like things are going as well as they could be at the moment?
They are, except for the whole no-fly zone over.
Right, except for not getting that. Yeah. So you're on the Ukrainian front, of as far as the military and the sort of volunteers, they're doing as...
Yeah, we're kicking ass, and the volunteers, great help. We're getting more and more weapons. They get like fancier and fancier weapons, and this is all great. And I know for a fact, if Russia decides to do like a final whatever attack on Kiev, we're definitely ready, and it's just gonna be.
Who's in charge of all that? Like in Kiev, is it the military actually commanding the volunteers, or are there sort of?
Yes.
And they're the ones who are like, when you say checking papers and everything, like, is that through the military or?
It's a mix. So basically the Tierra Barona, which is like the volunteer guard, right? So the volunteer guards, they closely work with the military.
Okay. Interesting. That's fascinating. So I'm going to the Twitch chat here, checking out some questions. I mentioned Dr. Andrea Jones-Roy was in the chat, and she asked earlier, forgive my lack of knowledge, but are there pro-Russian Ukrainian citizens? I feel like there are. Are they joining and fighting alongside Russia, or what are they doing? Do you have any knowledge of any pro-Russian?
Yeah, of course. So essentially what I was saying, Russia right now is bombing Russian-speaking cities, right? Like Kharkiv, back in the Soviet Union, that was like number three city in the Soviet Union. Lots of Russian speakers, and also the other cities like Kherson, Mariupol, lots of Russian speakers. And yes, you're right. If we were talking a month ago and you asked me the same question, I would say like, yes, lots of in those regions especially, right? Because the West is more like super pro-Ukraine and against Russia. But as you get closer to Russia, historically, those areas were leaning towards Russia, but definitely not now. It's all over. Forget that. That was in the past. Nobody fucking wants Putin. Everybody wants to kill Russian soldiers. Nobody cares about Putin. These people do not exist anymore. They're just... That's it. This question should not be asked to a Ukrainian ever again. Putin huilo, like everybody hates Putin here. Every single fucking city, even if they wanted Putin to be their president like 4 years ago or 8 years ago, it's not the case anymore. Everybody hates fucking Putin in Ukraine. That's it.
So if anything, this has totally backfired on him as far as if he had
100%. 100%. So basically, all the people who are not who love Putin, they're already fighting on Putin's side. There's just the line in the sand has been drawn a long time ago. So definitely not now.
There are countries, I don't have to name them, but in World War II, you brought up earlier, who folded so quickly. The second Hitler came in, they were like, I mean, they didn't put up any fight. There were plenty of countries we could list. So the fact, and they were considered countries then, which I would, argue about maybe a little bit, because Ukraine has proven the mark of a nation is you're going to defend yourself, like that's, you're a nation. And once you say like, we're not, so Putin's entire point has been, I think he's lost this public opinion and strategically safe to say, let's see. Are there any other questions in the Twitch? A lot of comments, people reminding everyone to go see Turner's show this Friday night. Do you think, Amisha, do you think this is from a Happy Miss GIF? How much worse do you think it will get before it gets better?
I mean, I think about it every day and I hope it doesn't get worse. So my only hope is that it just kind of... Russia gets stuck around Ukraine and they either work out some kind of deal and leave, or we just finish them off. I guess those are, but again, I don't want to think about the more sort of the escalation. I definitely don't want to think about that. I mean, I'm doing things to kind of be more prepared, but listen, nobody wants to test it out because I watched Christa Grozev, that guy from Bellingcat.
From where?
The organization that they did the investigative sort of report on the Navalny and his poisoning. And
okay, we talked a lot about that previous episode. I don't know if we mentioned the name, but yeah.
Yeah, so basically that nuclear hit, it might not be Ukraine, actually. It might be one of the NATO countries, and he's indicating that it might be Poland or some object in the ocean, some NATO strategic object in the ocean or something like that. So who knows how this... If it escalates, then right. I don't know.
Well,
I'm hoping.
Yeah, no, go
if on. It's essentially just to answer quickly, if you just contain to the kind of warfare that's going on right now, either way, Ukraine has already won. So don't right. even, yeah. So that's, I don't have to really think twice about that, So it's either going to be just a lot of casualties from Russian side or just way more casualties. It's just either one of those. But they've already lost. The only thing I have to worry about is just that next level threat. But, at that point, I shouldn't be the only one who's worried about that. You guys should too, because it could really trigger the...
Yeah. Well, I mean, I did read something and I'm forgetting who it was. It might've been the same, someone who I read about who wrote a lot about Navalny as well. And he was giving he wrote an article about how the idea that, is Putin a rational actor is basically the key when you talk about nuclear. And based on what Putin believes about Ukraine being weak, about all these not being a real country, about it being, and how he thought the Europe would react and how Europe had previously reacted. And like Putin has acted in his way rationally so far. And there's no reason to think he would like actually go down the path of, you know, I don't know if we want to find out personally living in New York. Maybe I'll get on the, I'll move to a, you know, a little inland a little bit before we.
Yeah. But, well, that's the thing. Cause when we talk about these type of scenarios, then we start talking about the coup within the leadership circle, right? The Putin circle. Is it going to happen like it did with Stalin? I mean, if Stalin couldn't, I mean, people think that Stalin was either assassinated or at least he, you know, he wasn't a, something happened to him. Let's just say that. Yes. And then nobody went into his room for almost like the 24 hours or something like that. Right. So right. Definitely something happened there. Is something like that going to happen to Putin? I hope so. I mean,
the people are in his inner circle, you know, all these oligarchs, obviously they needed Putin helped making so much money, but now he's supposed to be there to protect their wealth, right? I mean, it's not, I see like Abramovich is going to have to sell the Chelsea football team and all of his assets to get around sanctions. And
they're not real oligarchs. Remember we've talked about that.
Yes,
like, they're not independent. They're all
right.
If they made their money, down, they'll go down.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
And they're basically, it's not like, he thinks that it's all his money. They're just his wallets.
Yeah.
But the money is all his. He thinks that all Russia's money is all Putin's money.
Yeah. And they've followed his, you know, they've hooked their line to his ship, so to speak, you know, like they're
exactly,
they made their decision. So I don't, but I guess the point is though, it could be a few more weeks of fighting, you think, but we did see like there was a minor ceasefire to evacuate some civilian areas the other day, right? How, did that stick at all, or what was the?
No, they keep messing it up and like shooting the. Yeah, they keep disrupting it every single time.
And then you're not. We have a question. If you would leave, you sort of covered that already. But if you would leave, if you could, I mean, you have it in the back of your head as an idea, but as of now, you're.
Yeah.
You're more, I mean, you're more attached to the place now than probably you would have been, obviously. If you,
well, yeah, exactly. Like I love Kiev, you know, I don't want to leave. They should leave.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, people in New York have all this bullshit about like, we're New York tough because we survived. People are like, oh, there's 9/11 as one day, obviously horrible day. There people acted like coronavirus for a month was like, we were in a war in New York City because we saw a lot of ambulances drive by us. We're real New Yorkers. We don't leave. But like, this is real. Like you're a real key. How do you say it? If you're a citizen of Kyiv, Kyivian, is there a word for a, like you've proven your bona fides. Anybody who didn't run now, who could have, who had the opportunity to, you never should have to answer a question again. You should never have to show papers. It's hopefully that's a passing thing because of the fogs of war, but
exactly. And listen, to me, it's just the matter of priority. You know, if there's still kids in the city, then I probably shouldn't leave, you know?
Right. Yeah, exactly. If you, I mean, I would, you know, if war ever came to New York, I would be out of here. I would make sure I got a senior citizen dog. She doesn't like loud noises.
But, no, listen, I totally understand you know, my whole family left in advance. Right. I mean, if they were still here.
Have you been in touch with them? Of course.
Yeah. We talk every day.
And they're, yeah. So it's interesting. And we'll maybe end it here, but like, I mean, Poland seems to be the number one because we had actually done a podcast previously, and maybe we'll do one in the future about how Poland had this like right wing kind of authoritarian kind of government taking over. But they've seemed to have been the ones have opened up to the most. They're not aligned with Putin in any way, I guess, or it doesn't affect their relationship if they take everyone in. Or,
I mean, Poland, it's still an EU country, right? So it's again. We have to go back, right? When we talk about these things, we still have to put things in perspective. So if you talk about Poland, it's still an EU country. So just because they have these like Catholic roots and they had this one point on abortion that they can agree on, it's still a free country.
So
and
free
you
country.
Cannot,
democracy.
In your wildest dream, compare it to Russia.
I guess Orban would be a better one because they're more authoritarian, even though they are also a democracy and an EU country.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're also not. Yeah.
But as soon as the war started, they're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Is that crazy? No. I did not mean that. So they kind of play with them. They flirt with them in the past, right? Just because he probably bribes them, you know?
Yeah.
Russia's just channeling money to these people like Schroeder, the ex
German
counselor. Exactly. He's one of the key people in the oil company. You know, that's a good example. So it's essentially the Putin tried to buy them. But for some of them, it's like, oh, dude, no money can buy that loyalty. You know, if you're that crazy, you know, and that's sort of was the position like from a Hungarian Czech guy. But Poland was never even flirting with that. You know, it's just maybe some hints of that. But, you know, if you look at the bigger picture, definitely not. It was always a.
Yeah. And that's why, like, maybe because there's been a lot of this nonsense about how somehow NATO is the fault for this whole invasion. Because there was, you know, troops near Putin's border.
Yeah. Well, dude, NATO did nothing for 8 years. Are you kidding me? Of course, it's their fault. Man.
But their fault in that they were aggressive, like the aggressors, which is, of course, you know, that's what like some people on the left are saying. But no, I think this
NATO's
is over,
useless. That's their
it's the other way around. They're useless. Exactly. So if anything, Ukraine, I would say the more important than joining NATO when this is over in the future is joining the European Union. No.
Fuck all that shit.
Nope.
They should join Ukraine. Ukraine. Zelensky's doing a union and it's just Ukraine.
Ukraine. Ukrainian.
Yeah, I'm in, you know, Misha Kalin's in. If NATO wants in, maybe, I don't know. I'll talk to Zelensky, but honestly, dude, Zelensky, all I'm saying is Ukraine is a union of its own, and fuck everybody else. NATO, close the fucking skies over Ukraine. That's all we need. Or give us planes. That's the final point. But honestly, Ukraine is kicking ass, and we don't need no unions. If they want, they can be part
they come
of
to
our
you.
Union.
Exactly. Maybe. They recruit you. I like that.
Yeah.
And then last question, somebody, I don't know if this is, are you still performing comedy? You're not, right? In person, there's no crowds or nothing.
Not performing.
There's no comedy. That's the real loss.
Yeah. But I am writing. I'm writing, and I feel like next time I'm on stage, it's going to be amazing because I feel like people need this cathartic, right? Oh, dude.
It's like lockdown take two, but more serious. So
exactly. And people reach out to me and everybody's just like, dude, I can't wait for the next time we all get together, blah, 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 blah. So I can feel that people want this new like camaraderie, you know, they want to be in a small space, talking, laughing, just sharing how we all live through these awful times. You know, I definitely, I want to be on stage so bad and people reach out to me and I feel it. It's going to be the next dude. Remember how after 9/11, there was a huge spike in the stand-up quality and quantity of both, right?
Yeah, it was just, I feel like the cities were revived. The New York City, people wanted to be there in general. And then like, people had been scared and it just gave you so it's going to bring, I think it'd be good for comedy. Thing. If that's a positive, it'd be good for, I think the summer, hopefully is all over. You have a good, get back to life.
And, I hope so.
Yeah. And on that note, everyone, in the meantime, speaking of comedy, go see Turner Sparks. If you're in New York this Friday night, Friars Club, come hang out. Subscribe to our Patreon show. Anything else, Misha? Where can we find you?
Misha Kalin stand up on Instagram and TikTok. Support Ukrainian troops.
Yeah,
and,
what's the best way to do that? Is it the?
I'll send you a link.
Yeah, we'll post the link. Yeah. We posted one. I know the I posted one last week. I think that's a good one. Like, because Patreon was taken down, right? You can't. There was a Patreon link originally to support the Ukrainian military, and somehow Patreon ruled that was like against their policy. But there's another way to do it. So,
yeah, we'll I'll give you the direct link where you can directly support the Ukrainian troops. And they have different purposes. So, what else? Oh, yeah. If you can somehow influence NATO.
Anybody who knows anybody at NATO or Congress.
Yeah, we need more planes or no fly zone or both, please. Or
an anti-terror defense system, a way to shoot down Russian. Anything you can give. Just javelins. You got anything to donate? That's a great idea. And on that note, what should we do, Cap? Oh, wait. No, that's Turner's line. We should get lost. We'll be right back.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.